Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
There's an NBA team that yours truly picked to win the NBA title this year.
Okay.
That is wreaking havoc on the league. 19-3, best record in the NBA, won 10 straight games on the road. 10 straight. Most of them, in fact, all but one of them against Western Conference teams. You know what that means.
It means no chumps,
or at least very few chumps. Dallas. San Antonio. I know they're having a bad season for them, but they're still San Antonio. Chicago, that was your Eastern Conference win. Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix is a young upstart. OKC playing better than expected. Memphis, Ja Morant. The Pelicans. Brandon Ingram had a lot to prove. Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, they came out with a vengeance. Denver and Utah. So the Lakers look good. I'm feeling very good about my pick. And word around the studio is that you're not impressed.
Oh, I didn't say I wasn't impressed. I just think you picked the wrong team to win the NBA title from the right city, and that is, of course, the Los Angeles Clippers, who last time I checked, the Lakers are 0-1 against this year, who, by the way, I believe the Lakers were at full strength. I believe Paul George was sitting there in a suit, and I believe the Clippers ran them off the court the one time that they played this year on opening night.
I don't know about running them off the court.
They ran them off the
they
court.
They beat them. All right. They
Patrick Beverly got the last laugh.
Look, I am not going to sit here and diss the Clippers.
Sounds like you're dissing the Clippers.
No, the Clippers are nice. I said today on Undisputed with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, that I am 60% on the Lakers.
Oh, my goodness.
40% on the Clippers.
You got to pick a team.
No, I did. I picked the Lakers.
Okay.
But I know it's close. Like, the Clippers, because you know how it is in this business, Aaron. You want to be right.
Of course.
Whoever you pick is who you're pulling for, which makes it challenging because sometimes your heart is with one team, but you don't think they're going to win, so you pick the other, and it's a battle. But I picked the Lakers. Of course I want them to win because I want to be right. But the team that does scare me, I'll give you that, to no end, is the LA Clippers.
And they should. And I just think the matchup between those two teams would be so fascinating if we get there, when we get there. First of all, the Clippers are playing insanely well, 16-6. Obviously, we know Paul George is back, but I think stylistically, they are the team that will give the Lakers the most trouble come postseason.
Why?
Well, because they've got those big, long, athletic wings. They play real defense in a league where every time I look up, somebody's scoring 150 points. The Clippers have Patrick Beverly, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. They're younger. They're more athletic. I get why you like the Lakers, but don't be fooled by this regular season nonsense. We love to overanalyze the regular season. The Clippers aren't playing bad, 16-6 overall, and I think when it push comes to shove, they will be your 2020 NBA champ.
You know the Clippers have played more home games than any team in the league.
And a lot of them without their best players, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi's missed 6, George has missed 11, but they've played 14 games at home. Now, they do have a list of bodies that is unmatched. And bodies meaning victims.
Of course.
They beaten the Rockets. You mentioned the Lakers, the Jazz, the Mavericks, the Celtics, the Raptors. I mean, they have put it on all but Milwaukee. When you're talking about the elite teams. In Milwaukee, Kawhi didn't play. And they only lost that by, I think, 5 points. It was relatively close.
And that's what I was going to say. So 22 games for them. And you said Paul George has missed 11. Kawhi has missed 6, and they're 16-6. Meanwhile, Lakers have played 22 games. LeBron has missed 0. Anthony Davis has missed 1. I think you can't see the four.
Three. It's not like they're
19-14
and 8.
Sure. And what would the
Clippers what they're supposed to do.
And what would the Clippers be if they had all their guys healthy all
season?
They'd
be close. They probably had about the same record.
That's all I'm saying.
As the Lakers. So I like it. Look, I'm not dissing the Clippers. Here's the thing. The key to that series and the key to the Lakers winning that series is Anthony Davis. You talked about the perimeter guys, Kawhi, Paul George. You can throw in Mo Harkless, Pat Beverly. All of those guys are going to get a taste of LeBron James. But you know what? No matter how good they are, and they're really good defenders, he's going to average about 26, 10, and 8 in that series. No matter what, I don't care how good Kawhi is defensively, he will make it tougher on LeBron. Paul George will make it tougher on LeBron, but LeBron will put up superstar numbers at a high, fairly high efficiency rate, period. The key with the Clippers, Aaron, I think you're missing this. They don't have great bigs. And that is the thing that has given LeBron James trouble, or more trouble than anything else, during his career, are seven-footers at the rim. Legitimate rim protectors when he gets in the paint to finish. They have none with the Clippers. And then Anthony Davis, because they have nobody to match up with AD. Montrezl Harrell, I like him. Too small for AD. Zubac, not bad. Too slow for AD. AD has to have the fortitude, the toughness, the dog in him to punish the Clippers. And if he does, with LeBron's contributions, AD's dominance, the role players playing well, the Lakers will win. But if AD just doesn't have it in him, for whatever reason, if he's only 25 points, or even if his numbers look good, but it's not dominant like it should be against a team without a big that can match up with you, then the Lakers could be in trouble.
So first, with the rim protection issue, you know why I'm not worried about it, Chris Broussard?
Because you got to be. You got to ignore it because you picked the Clippers. That's why.
I picked the Clippers because I don't got to worry about rim protection when LeBron's not going to get to the rim.
Really?
When he's defended by the reigning finals MVP.
Have you ever seen anybody stop LeBron James from getting to the rim?
I saw Kawhi shut down Giannis last year in the Eastern Conference Finals over those last four games.
Giannis is not LeBron, as good as he is. He's not as fluid, not as powerful as LeBron.
So you're telling me, first of all, LeBron's played 22 games. He's made a big stink about, we don't do load management over here on this side of town.
That's right. We respect
regular
season on this half of the booth. Apparently you don't on that half.
Now that he got rid of your boys, Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram, he had 3 months off last year. Now he doesn't have to worry about it. So
they would have been better off keeping those guys?
This LeBron James that's going to play 80 games now, plus the playoffs. Now we get to the Western Conference Finals. He's going to be like a spring daisy, ready to go, ready to take it to the best defender, Kawhi Leonard, in the league. I don't worry about rim protection because Kawhi ain't letting him get to the rim because Kawhi is the best player in this league.
Stop.
Love Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi has
two finals MVPs.
Kawhi has surrendered the right to be called the best player in the world. And I love Kawhi's game. But you cannot be called the best player in the world when you are just sitting out random game. I'm sorry.
All right. He's not the best player in the world. What he is the dynasty killer. Killed the Warriors. Killed the Miami Heat. He kind of killed the Spurs, too, but that's neither here nor there.
Lakers aren't a dynasty.
And
so
they're never
going
to be because Kawhi's on the other side of town.
Here's the thing. It is easier than ever. I'm sure you've noticed to get to the rim. I think I could get to the rim 4 or 5 times in today's NBA. Because the floor is so spread, they're trying to run you off the three-point line to make you take a long two or mid-range shot. It's easier than ever. LeBron James, have you watched? He is living in the paint. LeBron himself is either in the paint or it's a three for the most part. He will be at the rim, and you're counting on Ivica Zubac to stop him. Good luck with that one.
I'm relying on my guy Kawhi, who shut down Giannis, shut down
Giannis
the Warriors.
Is not
dynasty.
LeBron. You
Giannis
know,
is the
Giannis
reigning
was
MVP.
A young buck. He was Literally. A young buck. He needed that. He had to go through that torturous playoff experience to make him better, and he is better this
Kawhi
year.
Kawhi carried a whole country last year. I got no worries about him against little LeBron James.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
OBJ. Odell Beckham Jr. I'm going to surprise folks on my take. But first, let me set the stage, and then we're going to hear what he said. Today at practice, obviously they're coming off a bad loss. I think a season-ending loss against the Steelers. I think their chances of making the playoffs are now gone. And I thought they had a chance to make it. I guess you can say if they went out, you know, that would mean beating Baltimore, which is going to be tough to do. But if they went out, yeah, they could make it. But I think there's very little chance of them making the playoffs. And now Odell Beckham Jr., they were asking him about his future in Cleveland. Now, mind you, plenty of time left on his deal. I mean, he signed up under contract until 2023. So, first of all, you really don't even need to be asking him about his future. He's in Cleveland. And he doesn't really need to be talking about his future. But they asked him, and he talked, and here's what he said.
No one knows what the future holds like tomorrow. Like, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now, and I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. It's something that, like I said, God has a plan. In the offseason, everything will figure itself out.
Now, the question he was asked was, will you be here next year? And that was his answer. Okay, well, the question was actually whether he wants to be in Cleveland next year. And he said, no one knows what the future holds. Like tomorrow. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I couldn't tell you if I want to be here. No, you could. You actually could. Mm-hmm. He wants out. And here's where I'm going to shock people. Because, look, I jumped on Odell for Watchgate. All right? I didn't really jump on him, but I wasn't digging Cleatgate or Visorgate. Sure. All the gates. But overall, I think Odell's been attitudinally, he's been fine this year, hasn't caused any problems. And Aaron Torres, clearly Odell Beckham Jr. wants out. And guess what? I don't blame him. I don't. And there's video out there of him hunting down Jimmy Garoppolo after a game this season and saying, I would come there. And then he's talking to John Lynch, probably saying the same thing. Okay. Here's the thing. I get it. Odell Beckham Jr. is an all-time great talent. Odell Beckham Jr. should, not definitely no guarantee, but should wind up in the Hall of Fame one day. He's that type of player, that type of talent, that type of ability. And if I am that type of player, and I am locked in a place where we're not winning, and I'm not getting the ball, whatever the reason, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the offensive system, whatever the reason, I'm not saying blame Baker Mayfield, for whatever reason, he's not getting the ball. And I understand why he doesn't want to sit there and waste his best years in a place where they can't get him the ball. And he sees lesser talented receivers making All-Pro over him. He's not going to sniff the All-Pro team this year. I get it. I think he's gone about it the right way. He hasn't raised the ruckus. Now, maybe he shouldn't have said what he did today. But going quietly to Jimmy G, quietly to John Lynch, I'm sure he's talked to his agent about it. I would want to go to a place where I could get the rock and shine and do my thing individually too. Now, don't get me wrong. Winning is important. If they were winning, I would say the opposite. Shut up and you're winning. Just play. It doesn't matter if you don't have a ton of catches. But I get where players want to win, but they also want to shine individually. It's one thing if you don't have that kind of talent. It's one thing if you're just a mediocre player, if you're a role player. But when you have superstar talent, you want to shine and play like a superstar. I don't blame OBJ.
So to you, this is different than Antonio Brown wanting out of Pittsburgh because they were winning. He was featured.
Totally different.
And he went to the Raiders, who up until this season were basically an abomination.
Totally different. You're right, because the Steelers were winning. He had a good quarterback. He was getting his touches. He was getting his accolades. What was the problem?
I'm with you. No, it's one where I know that we you know, it's great if we disagree, and I'm adamant, but not only do I not disagree with you, he is not being featured, we're not seeing his skill set. I wonder if it's best for both parties to move on. It's clear that the one thing the Cleveland Browns are not lacking is skill position weapons on offense. They're lacking on the offensive line. They got holes on defense. They might need a new quarterback. We'll find out here because you know, Baker's running out of goodwill with the way that he's playing. I'm not saying it's
good
time.
Commercials, though.
He does do some good commercials. Yeah, the one with the lawnmower.
A little too
the
many, though. We got more commercials than he's got wins.
It's true. And so it's one where I almost wonder if it's best for both sides. That way, Jarvis Landry, you go back to last year, he's your clear number one. You're not trying to force the ball to OBJ. You involve the tight ends. Nick Chubb has been phenomenal when he gets the ball. You want to incorporate the running game. Sometimes there are just too many cooks in the kitchen. Sometimes there are too many guys that you feel like you got to get involved. And so it's one where not only I actually don't blame Odell either, and I've been critical of Odell. But it's one where I wonder if it's best for the Browns, as crazy as it sounds, to give up, as you just said, Chris, a Hall of Fame talent for the good of the team. Because I just don't know if that's what they need at this exact moment, and that money could be allocated elsewhere.
You make sense. Look, now I've said, I'm on record. People who listen to the show have heard me say, if I'm the Browns, I would not give up OBJ or any of my skilled guys until I get a coach in there that I know can maximize.
That's part of it too. Yep.
Let me get a coach in who I know can bring the best out of Baker and OBJ and Jarvis and Nick Chubb and get them on the same page. And if he can't, if this coach, a great coach, can't do it, then now I got to split it up. But at the same token, I get what you're saying. Because if you could strengthen your offensive line, mm-hmm. for OBJ, to give up OBJ, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, and that is the one hole in my argument, which I was thinking about, not even my argument, just this whole conversation is OBJ not being featured because the quarterback plays bad, because the O-line play is bad, Baker doesn't have time, or is the coaching so incompetent that it's dragging everybody down, which I think is a realistic possibility. And so I actually do understand where OBJ is coming from, but I also wonder if you get a better coach, if you have, honestly, a Freddie Kitchens type calling the plays, because he should be a coordinator, not a head coach, is it different? And I don't know, but I also wouldn't blame Odell for not wanting to come back to find out, even if there is a new coach next year.
Right, and that's where, again, I've said I wouldn't break it up until I get a coach that I know can make it work together. But now that you've got Odell wanting out, and he's being professional about, like, again, you can debate whether or not he should have said what he said today.
I don't know if I want to be. I can't say
right,
if I
right,
want.
Right,
yeah, okay,
really?
Yeah, yeah. You can. You actually can.
Yeah, now you can say that.
You
for
can pull
sure.
a Kyrie and say it and then renege later. But that's another conversation for another day.
But you better believe,
sure,
that once the season's over, his agent, his people are going to the Browns front office quietly. It's going to get out, of course, and say, we would like to move on. I mean, sure. I isn't that what he just said?
Basically, yeah.
I mean, I think in his mind, he was good and he didn't, you know, he didn't cause any, you know, huge storm, but he actually did because it's the headline on every website and all that. But I think in his mind, he thinks he handled it the right way. But he still said enough for us to know he wants out.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today, though. What could he have said? I mean, even if he's definitive, first of all, it's not completely up to him to stay in Cleveland.
Well, that's where he's gotten out. He could have said, look, yeah, I want to be here. I mean, I told you guys I'm happy here in Cleveland. I got, you know, we got a great talent. Baker's a good quarterback. You know, my boy Jarvis is on the other side. Nick Chubb's one of the best running backs in the league. Like, I know we haven't achieved what we wanted to this year, but look, this team's got potential, and I'm all in. And if they trade you,
yep.
then, sure. you know what I mean? You yep. They can't blame you. But and I get it. That's a lie. He's not all in. I mean, some people might say, hey, he was being honest. All I'm saying is this. I understand how he feels.
Sure.
And I've always said this, Aaron. If you are a superstar, you want to be a superstar. People always jump on Charles Barkley because he doesn't have a ring. And I've always said I would rather be Charles Barkley, you know, basketball-wise, than Robert Horry.
Sure.
Or Steve Kerr. And if I've got the ability of Charles Barkley, arguably one of the best 20, 25 players of all time, I got to be honest. I'm not trying to go somewhere, average 11 points, and win a ring.
Sure.
Now, maybe people will jump on me. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, but the important thing is they're not in position to win a ring. And so it hasn't worked out. I would be curious with a competent head coach, is this different? But again, then it involves coming back next year. Then you have another down year. Then where
well, then
are we
you
at?
You got to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so like, I do think, and listen, as reporters, these are the questions that we have to ask. I actually don't have a problem with what Odell said. I know this is a business where we're supposed to take one side, but like, I kind of get what he's saying. And like I said, I do kind of wonder if it'd be best for everyone, not just Odell, but for the Cleveland Browns as well to move
on. Well, there's some feeling that Odell's such a strong personality that Baker feels pressured to try to find him.
Have you noticed it feels like every week, no matter what Odell does, Freddie Kitchens gets a question about, do you feel like you targeted him enough? Did you get him? I've seen Freddie Kitchens answer that question at least 3 or 4 times.
No, that's true. And a guy like that, that's what he brings.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's stick with the NFL, but move to the AFC. Where Tom Brady resides. And there was an interesting story today on NBC Boston by Tom Curran, who is very plugged in with the Patriots. And he said this is Tom Brady's last year with the Patriots because they had every opportunity to give him a contract extension. And if they didn't give him a contract extension when he was a year younger, coming off of a Super Bowl, what in the world makes us think they're going to give him a contract, an extension now that he's older and most likely, now, you know, nobody's totally writing the Patriots off, but let's say they get beat in the AFC Championship or even a round before. What makes us think they're going to extend him then? And so he thinks that this won't necessarily be Brady's last year playing, but it'll be his last year with New England. Here's what I say. If I'm the Patriots, even if, let's say they go out in the second or third round, I do not get rid of Tom Brady. I strengthen my receiving core. And going along with one of the stories we were talking about earlier, maybe I can get OBJ. But the problem with Tom Brady is this. He can no longer, at 42 years of age, carry mediocre talent. For the bulk of his career, barring Randy Moss and Rob Gronkowski, he has had mediocre talent at the receiver. And he's been so good, and their defense has been good, and at times the running game, that they've been able to win Super Bowls. But those days are over. If Tom Brady's going to be your quarterback, you need top-flight weapons on the outside. And so if I'm New England, I go get me some top-flight weapons. Whether it's OBJ, if Antonio Brown can play, maybe bring him back. You know, whatever. Go get some top-flight weapons. I would give Brady, makes $23 million this year. I'd up him to 25, 26. I don't think he, you know, he's always taking pay cuts. I don't think he's going to demand market value, which would obviously be in the mid-30s for him. So I think you give him a bump, and you go ahead and you try to strengthen the receiving core. Now, if they don't, If they want him to say take a pay cut because he didn't have the type of year he had a year ago, they didn't win the Super Bowl like they did a year ago, they don't want to bring in other talent, then if I'm Tom Brady and I still want to play, I walk.
There's going to be plenty of good options too. I mean, we were talking about this before the show, but Carolina could be available. They got some players over there on the offensive side of the ball. Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, all those guys.
He'd be nice there. You're right.
Yeah. The Chargers. I mean, there's so many different places for him to go. I can't see the Patriots letting this guy walk. This guy has been the face of the franchise for 20 years. I know that historically Belichick is a guy that is not afraid to move off of somebody, but there's one guy with the Patriots that ranks higher than Bill Belichick, and that's Robert Kraft. And I just cannot see that guy with the, as an owner of the organization, as a guy that wants to, you know, wants, it's a business to him. Tom Brady has been good for business, and guess what? He's going to be good for business after he retires, but that's right. Going to take a hit if he retires as a Charger, as a Panther, as a Bear, as a whatever. We talked about it. Kobe Bryant, you give him a little bit at the end so that he's forever a Laker. I just cannot imagine the Patriots letting this guy play for somebody else next year.
Yeah, and if Rob Parker were here sitting in your seat, he would say, the 49ers moved on from Joe Montana. The Indianapolis Colts moved on from Peyton Manning. Here's the difference. They had a replacement. The Niners had Steve Young. The Colts had Andrew Luck. Who in the world do the Patriots have?
Traded Jacoby Brissett.
Traded Jimmy Garoppolo. What, they got Jared Stidham. I don't think he's the answer.
No, I don't.
All right, so you don't have that guy. And I agree with you. It would look bad for the Patriots, and it might end up looking bad for Brady. And it might end up looking bad for Belichick. Now, I am on record. Brady's the GOAT. Belichick's the GOAT. But I got to keep it real. The facts are that without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick has not been the same coach. Everybody wants to talk about, can Brady do it without Belichick? Belichick had 5 years in Cleveland. Belichick had 2 full seasons in New England without Tom Brady. 7 years total. Made the playoffs once. Rob G, check that. I think he's made the playoffs once without Tom Brady in 7 years. 2 winning seasons. 2 without Tom Brady in 7 years.
Well, and you said it could turn out bad for Tom Brady. I think it's more likely it turns out bad for Bill Belichick, not only because of that aspect, they don't have the next guy in line, but think about the teams that I just said for Tom Brady, okay? This guy had spent his entire career playing outdoor, cold-weather football. He goes to Carolina. Not only does he have Christian McCaffrey, not only does he have all those weapons, he's playing in Carolina, he's playing in a dome in New Orleans, he's playing in a dome in Atlanta, he's playing in Tampa. Right. You know, you go to the L.A. Chargers, you're playing in an indoor-outdoor stadium, but you're in L.A., you're not dealing with 25 degrees with 30-mile-an-hour winds. I'm saying, I think if they go their separate ways, it's more likely that Tom Brady comes out looking good. Listen, eventually he's going to fall off, but if we're just talking next year, maybe even the year after, I think it's more likely that Tom Brady ends up looking better coming out of this than Bill Belichick does.
Patriots, why? Why? Why are you trying to move on? Why are you ushering him out the door? This reminds me of the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan was there. In fact, ironically, gave him 6 rings. Tom Brady's given him 6 rings. And Jerry Krause, not so much the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, but still, Jerry Krause, the GM, and all the front office decision makers, you didn't get enough credit. It's all about Michael. We build a good team, but nobody recognizes it. We want to show folks we can do it without the great Michael Jordan. And guess what? But for a few years with Derrick Rose, they haven't been heard from since. Don't think it couldn't happen in New England. I remember when New England was a doormat. When New England was the forgotten team. When nobody, the biggest thing about New England was their red uniforms and the Patriot hiking the ball on the side of their helmet. I remember that New England team. Nobody cared. So be careful. Be very careful.